Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
This morning, we have Jay Zutula coming to share the message with us this morning. Dr. Jay Zutula and his wife, Ola Dooney, have been with us for about 6 months now, and we've really gotten to know them. And I've gotten to know Dr. JT fairly well, just coming to our Friday night prayer meetings and things like that. And something I know about Dr. JT is that he really loves chocolate. He really loves chocolate. I had to call you out for that. But would you please welcome Dr. JT as he comes this morning?
Praise God. Hallelujah. It's a great privilege to bring the word once again this morning to you, to Cornerstone, and to everyone that might be watching online. I do not take it for granted. I never take for granted an opportunity to share God's word, to be a blessing to God's people, because I know how much my own life has been changed by the word. There are messages. Yeah, of course, I've heard a whole lot of messages in my lifetime, but there are, and every single one of them, one way or the other, has contributed to my walk with God. But there are certain messages that I remember for years. I can't forget them because they marked a turning point in my life. And the truth of it is, you never know when you will hear that message that marks a turning point in your life. So it's important to come. Every time we come to receive God's word, it's important to come with expectation. It's important to come with our hearts wide open. Incidentally, one of those messages was one where that night I wasn't particularly attentive. I didn't come with expectation. But somehow or the other, God still did what he was going to do. You know, so whether you're here with expectation or you're here just to be here, whatever the case may be, I believe God with you today, that in the name of the Lord Jesus, we will not leave this place the same way that we came. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I want to thank once again Pastor Barry. Thank you so much for the privilege to share God's word with God's people and to be a blessing. I do not take it for granted. Thank you, sir. And thank you all. Thank you for being such a wonderful family. You know, the Friday night virtual prayer meetings, the Friday night physical prayer meetings, Sunday services, every time that we've had cause to fellowship together, fellowship as one body, one church, it's been amazing. It's been from glory to glory, and it will continually be from glory to glory. Amen. 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 Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Today we'll be looking at a very simple message, I believe. It has to do with the partnership of the Holy Spirit. Now, to be very specific, it is not particularly today about how to partner with the Holy Spirit, but rather to just share with us how the Holy Spirit is our partner, what that partnership means, what that partnership means. Maybe we will enter a little bit into how to engage his partnership, but the focus mostly will be on what that partnership means, what it represents, how it partners with us, And then I believe that God will help us to now begin to learn or to continue to learn, because I don't think it's a start necessarily. For some of us, it might be a start. For some of us, it might just be a continuation of us walking in that partnership with the Holy Spirit. In the book of John chapter 14, we could just start from there. I have this habit, but I might end up using more the verses on the app, since the app is available. And if you have the app too, please go ahead and just use that. It's beautiful. Pastor Barry has helped us with hyperlinks, so you can just long press and the verse will come up. Amen. Yes. So the partnership of the Holy Spirit. We're starting from John chapter 14, verse 16. This was the first time that Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit, particularly in the sense of the Holy Spirit coming. He had made certain references, whether veiled or unveiled, to the Holy Spirit working in him, working through him and all of that. But in terms of speaking about the coming of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit would do for us, with us, in us, through us, the new creation, this was the first time Jesus made a reference to that. And in making that reference, he said, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever." The name he called the Holy Spirit there, he said, another helper. Why another? That's because he was already there as an helper. Everything that word helper represents, the word helper is the Greek word paraklete. And it represents comforter, counselor, helper, advocate, strengthener, intercessor, standby. Every one of those things, Jesus was already those things to them. He was those things to them. But he said, when I leave, another will come. Another will come. And so the words there, allos paraklete. And I put there the meanings of those Greek words. Allos means another, like we've said. Paraklete, all those things I've said. But beyond all those things I've said, the most accurate understanding of paraklete is one called alongside to help. Now that brings to us the sense of a person is going on a journey or has a task ahead of them, an assignment ahead of them, and then there is someone that is called alongside them to help. Scripture says that God has called us out of darkness into his glorious light. In Ephesians 1:18, he says that we may know the hope of his calling. So there is a calling. He has called us out, and there is something that he has also called us into. Scripture says he has called us into the fellowship of his son. He has called us into his glory and virtue. So there are things God has called us to, called us into, called us out of. But in terms of that calling, he says there's one that is called alongside to help us. And that person is the Holy Spirit. That person is the Holy Spirit. And so that brings to us a sense of partnership. And that is also seen in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 4. It's a scripture that we quote a lot, even though we do not oftentimes quote it as though we're quoting a scripture. It's more like a confession, a benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship, communion. Somebody over there said communion. Communion, fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. One word that we do not often use is the word partnership. But that is actually one of the meanings of that word koinonia. It's the Greek word koinonia. And what it means is intimacy. It's a rubbing of shoulders together. It's communion. It's fellowship. It is partnership. And I usually like to use this example of my wife and I as a husband and wife. That's tautology. My wife and I as a married couple. We have koinonia. And that koinonia is in different dimensions. There is koinonia in terms of we're simply sitting and we're talking. We call it gisting. I don't know if that's really... We call it gisting. We're just rubbing minds together. Or rubbing shoulders together, as the case may be. But it's a type of koinonia. Am I correct? And then there are other levels of koinonia. But do you know that if all we have as husband and wife is that type of koinonia where we're just communing or we have intimacy with one another, if we do not have partnership, that marriage is doomed to fail. It will fail. Because we have to partner in taking care of Tehila. We have to partner in getting things done. We have to partner in keeping the house clean. We have to partner in doing almost everything. So if there is communion, but there is no partnership, then it will be incomplete. Our koinonia will be incomplete. And the same thing goes when it comes to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Is he has come not only to commune with us or fellowship with us, he has also come to partner with us. He's called alongside to help us on that journey. And that now brings up the question that what journey are we on? What task do we have that he has come to partner with us in accomplishing? What journey are we on that he has come to partner with us on? What journey are we on? And that talks about the Christian journey. But what really is that Christian journey? For years, I would most likely have answered that question by saying, no, we're journeying to heaven. But if we take a critical look at it, our journey is really not a journey to heaven as such. If it was just about a journey, let me say it's not only about a journey to heaven. If it was just about that, it would have been sufficient for me to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and then, boom, I'm gone. Either by rapture or by death. I just go. I mean, there's no point. Just come home. If that was all the journey was about. But that's not all the journey is about. That's not all the journey is about. Scriptures indicate that our journey after salvation is one of sonship and service. Sonship and service. And there's a poem God inspired in my heart some years ago. From time to time, I write poems by his inspiration. And this one says, "The Serving Son." If you have the church app, the poem is there. I'm not going to read it. I call it a prophetic poem and a poetic prophecy, amen. But I'm not going to read it because of time. But if you have it on the app, you can just go ahead and read it. If you don't have the app, you can go on the church website. I think it's automatically there. Thank you, sir. So you can just go ahead and read it. But sonship and service. Sonship and service. But even though I will not read the poem, one of the things that is important about that poem and the understanding behind it is that among believers, there are those that simply understand sonship. Well, I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. And they understand what it means to be a son of God or a child of God and to enjoy the benefits of being a child of God. But they do not recognize that they are not only sons, they are servants. And then among believers also, there are those that only recognize that they are servants. You know, they don't have, of course, they know, oh, I'm a child of God, but they don't have that sense of sonship. Having that relationship with the Father, having communion with him. Scripture says our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. He's the firstborn. We're also the beloved in him. And some people don't have that understanding. All they have is, oh, I serve God. I serve God with my life. I serve God with my life. But they do not understand sonship, do not engage the benefits of sonship. But God's ultimate desire for us is that we not only walk as his sons or walk only as his servants, but walk as serving sons. We're his sons and we serve. And of course, many of us here have raised children, and you're thinking about it right now. You know that I raised my children not just to be, oh, they're my children, but at some point I want them to be mature enough that they can do things as my representative. They can do things on my behalf. It can start with house chores and all of that, but there's a point it gets to where they are taking higher levels of responsibility. They are in charge of the estate. They are in charge of getting things done. They might even be in charge of the business. Praise God. You see, higher levels of responsibility. So God wants us to walk in all of that. So our journey is one of sonship and service. Having a relationship with God as our Father and serving his will, his purpose, his agenda as our King by walking or journeying in the good works that the Father prepared for us. He's our Father and he's also our King. He's our Father and he's also our King. He's our Father and he's also our King. And that is born out in the Lord's Prayer. It starts with our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Very next thing, your kingdom come. And at the end of that prayer, he says, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. So in prayer, we recognize him as our Father, but also we relate to him as our King, because we know that he's our King and we're part of his kingdom. So that's sonship and service exemplified. In Mark 3:14, just to further elaborate on this, scripture says that Jesus called 12 to be with him and that they might be with him and that he might send them out. So first of all, they were with him. Of course, that wasn't sonship because they were not yet children of God, you know, but just that relationship understanding. They were with him and then he sent them out. Today it's the same thing. He wants us to be with him and then he wants to send us out. He doesn't first seek to just send us out. He wants us to be with him, to fellowship with him, to have a relationship with him, to be his sons. And then he seeks to send us out as his servants. Praise God. In Ephesians 1, 3 to 6 and 9 to 11 also and verse 18, that same understanding comes out. Ephesians 1, 3 to 6 is talking about our sonship. He's talking about, oh, he chose us in Christ. He adopted us. He blessed us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All right, according as he chose us in him. So he blessed us. He chose us. He adopted us. There's another one. He approved us. He said, we're accepted in the beloved. You see, all of that speaks of sonship. Blessed us, chose us, adopted us, accepted us in the beloved. We're loved by him. But then, a few verses down the line, you start seeing something about his will, his agenda, his purpose. No, it's no longer about, oh, I've blessed you, I've chosen you, I've adopted you. And if one's favorite scripture that one camps around is just Ephesians 1, 3 to 6, one would never understand one's place in God's agenda. But in verses 9 to 11, you start seeing things like, having made known the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in himself. That it, you see, he's talking about his good pleasure, his will, his purpose, he proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. That is what he has in mind. That's his agenda. He wants to gather together all things in Christ. For from you are all things, like we sang, and to you are all things. In him all things consist. Verse, yes, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So he starts shifting the focus from blessed us, chose us, adopted us, accepted us in Christ Jesus. He starts talking about, this is what I have in mind. That's God now. This is what I have in mind. This is my will. This is my counsel. This is my purpose. This is my agenda. And you're a part of that agenda. And so in verse 18, it says the prayer he prays for them and he prays for us is that we might know what is the hope of his calling. We might know what is the hope of his calling. So he moves from sonship to service. He moves from relationship to what is God's agenda. And so we're on a journey of all of that. We're on a journey of sonship, yes, walking with God as our Father, having a relationship, having fellowship with him, but we're also on a journey of service, playing our part in his agenda. Why did he save us in Christ Jesus? Oh yes, he saved us so that he seated us in Christ Jesus so that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. True, very, very true, and very, very important. We must not neglect that part, but must not also forget that he chose us because he had something in mind, an agenda, a will, a purpose that he wants us to be a part of. Praise God. How does the Holy Spirit then partner with us on our journey of sonship and service? I said the emphasis today is not necessarily on how we partner with him, how we engage his partnership, but how does he partner with us? What does he bring to the table in that sense of the word? What does he do? How does he partner with us? Number one is imperfection. I decided to use the letter P for all of them. Of course, they have other words that can be used for them. Perfection is simply talking about growth and maturity. Purpose is, of course, purpose, agenda, God's will, and all of that. Our fulfillment of God's assignment. Power. I'm not sure I have any other word I want to use for power. Amen. All right. Provisions, inheritance, all of that. But let's just delve into it. Perfection. I wrote here, I said growth from babehood, for lack of a better word, from babehood to full mature manhood is required in both our sonship, that's our relationship with the Father, and our service or doing of good works. If we're going to stand truly as sons of God, in the writing of the New Testament, there were different words that were translated, children of God, sons of God, and one of the words actually has to do with mature sons, mature. Of course, there's another one that has to do with immature, you know, just babies and all of that, but there's one that has to do with mature sons. God wants us to be mature sons. Ephesians 4:13, I believe it's one of the scriptures we're going to have on the screen. It says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, please don't let the word perfect throw you. It's perfect, yes, but it also means mature. You see, mature. So he wants us to come to a state of spiritual maturity. And how does the Holy Spirit help us with that? How does the Holy Spirit help us with that? The Holy Spirit helps us to grow. He literally parents us. That's that John 14:18 that came up just now. John 14:18. Thank you, sir. He literally parents us. What he says there is that I will not leave you comfortless. John 14:18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will not leave you comfortless. And the word translated comfortless there, you might say, where is the parenting thing? The word translated comfortless. Okay, it seems there's an issue with that. The word translated comfortless there is the Greek word orphanos. Orphan, O-S. Who is an orphan? Somebody without father, without mother, no parents. So what he was essentially saying, I will not leave you parentless. I will come to you. And how did he come to them? He came to them in the person of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit has come as our parent in that sense of the word. You remember he's the comforter, right? So if he says, I will not leave you comfortless, I'll come to you, that means I'll send a comforter. If he says, I will not leave you parentless, I'll come to you, means I will send a parent. And who is that parent? Who is it that is going to walk with you in that journey? What does the parent do? He walks with the children. He raises them, cares for them, guides them, all of that. Or she, he or she, raises them, guides them, or both of them. They do all of that, and they walk with them on that journey through life. I will not leave you orphanos. I will come to you. He came to us in the person of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, literally speaking, is our parent on the earth. He's the one that walks with us on the earth. Remember that the Father is seated in heaven. The Father, never, he's on his throne. He's on his throne. The Son is seated at the right hand of the Father. Stephen saw him standing, but generally seated. Hallelujah. But you see, the Holy Spirit is the one that is present here physically with us. He is actually the presence of God in us, with us, all of that. So he's the one that is walking with us on the face of the earth. He's the one that is parenting us, moving us from infancy to what? To maturity. Praise God. And how does he do that? He helps us to grow as we yield ourselves to him to teach us the word and to help us to pray. To teach us the word. And to help us to pray. I don't know if you sang this song in growing up in church in Canada, but we had this song growing up in church in Nigeria. It says, read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. Now I know where the Nigerians are in this church. All right. So read your Bible, pray every day. It sounds very, very simple, but it's true. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's true. We grow by the word and by prayer. Communion with God. And so if we engage, as we engage the help of the Holy Spirit to teach us his word and to help us to pray, we grow. We grow. Hallelujah. We grow. Because of time, we won't go through all the scriptures, but some of those scriptures just talk about how he teaches us. Jesus said in John 16 that he will teach you. He will teach you. He will teach you. And then, of course, Acts 20 verse 32. I love that one particularly. It says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you inheritance among the sanctified. Hallelujah. So God's word matures us. God's word matures us. And, of course, we also grow through prayer. And the emphasis on growing in the place of prayer is not on asking. I don't think anybody ever grew by always asking God for things. Oh, Father, bless me, bless my children, bless my family. Do this for us, do this for us. Now, in a way, that's still communion with God. But one of the most important types of prayer that helps us to grow in its purest form is praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Edifies himself. The word edify comes from the same word as edifice. It has to do with building up, right? When you have an edifice, it's a mighty building and all of that. So he edifies himself. And which part of himself? His spirit. His spirit. So if I want to grow spiritually, what do? I spend time. Of course, I spend time in God's word. I ask the Holy Spirit to please teach me his word. And then I spend time in his word. But I also do what? I also pray, especially praying in the Spirit. It is a great tool for growth. It is a great tool for growth. And of course, it's not possible to pray in the Spirit without the help of who? The Holy Spirit, our parent. Hallelujah. Praise God. Number two, purpose. He helps us in doing the good works our Father prepared for us, fulfilling our part in our King's agenda. He helps us in the doing of the good works. He helps us in the doing of good works. Of course, remember that good works, us doing the good works that God has prepared for us beforehand is taking our place in his agenda. So the Holy Spirit helps us in the doing of those good works. He helps us in fulfilling the purpose that God has for us as individuals in Christ Jesus. Yes, there are good works that are general. We've talked about that before. But there are good works that are specific to each one of us. Very, very specific. Very, very specific to each one of us. And the Holy Spirit helps us in the doing of not just the general ones, but also the specific ones. Hallelujah. In John 20, verses 21 and 22, Jesus said to them, he said, "As my Father has sent me, so send I you." So God the Father sent Jesus. Jesus sent us. And in sending them, what he did was to breathe on them. Scripture says he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." All right. So he did not send them without the Holy Spirit. And even after he had done that, he still told them, he said, "Wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high, because I will send the Holy Spirit." Praise God. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Okay, it's not one of the scriptures I wrote here, but it's critical to this, or it's important to this. It says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses, right? In Jerusalem, in Judea, and unto the uttermost, and in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So he told them that you can't go forth as my witnesses. You can't take your place in my agenda. You can't fulfill your part in my purpose. You can't fulfill your part of that work until you have the help of the Holy Spirit. So he helps us in doing that work. He helps us in doing that work. And Mark 16, 19 and 20 is particularly instructive. Mark 16, 19 and 20. Scripture says that the Lord Jesus ascended. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven. Who was received up into heaven? The Lord. We understand by that is the Lord Jesus. And then he sat down at the right hand of God. And then they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Oh, but the Lord was received up into heaven. So how was the Lord working with them everywhere they went? He was working with them through the person of the Holy Spirit. Working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So the Holy Spirit works with us. He's our partner. He works with us. He works with us. He works with us. And this is not in the notes, but if I may say this, because I was reminded of that just now. It's important to remember that they went and the Lord worked with them. Now, it is true that in many places in the scriptures, there are instances where the Spirit of God specifically led people. We're still going to come to one of them, Acts chapter 13, verse 2. They were praying, they were fasting and ministering to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit said, "Separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work whereunto I have called them." So it was the Holy Spirit that initiated it, true or false? Yes, he was the initiator. And then they went, and then he kept working with them. But do we also know that Jesus has already given every one of us the Great Commission? And so he does not need to give us a second instruction all the time to say, okay, so go. He has already told us go. He said, "Go into all the world." Praise God. If we go just based on the fact that Jesus has said so in his word, the Holy Spirit will work with us. We don't need to say, "Oh, I'm waiting because God has not given me an instruction to evangelize. God has not given me an instruction to preach the gospel. God has not given me an instruction to do what now? Maybe to heal the sick. God has not given me an instruction." He has already given you an instruction. He has given us the Great Commission. And like someone said, it's not the great suggestion. It's the Great Commission. Praise God. And if we go based on his word, it is sufficient. The Holy Spirit will work with us. He's our partner. So he's the kind of partner that is not necessarily waiting to say, "Wait until I give you the instruction. Okay, I'm giving you an instruction. Now let's go. And then I'll work with you just because I'm the one that gave you the instruction." There's that. But because Jesus has spoken it, he has given us an instruction already. It's an eternal instruction. It is there in his word. And it applies to every one of us. If we go based on that alone, the Holy Spirit will still work with us. I believe that what God is getting across to someone here today is freedom. That you may have been waiting and saying, God, where are you sending me? God, give me an instruction. I want to hear an instruction. I want to hear the audible voice of God. I want to have a leading. There's already a leading in God's word. That's right. And you can go based on that. Now, as you go, the Spirit of God will work with you, right? So as he works with you, he may still give you certain other leadings. But there's nowhere in the scripture that he tells us to wait for a leading before we do what he has told us in the word. Hallelujah to Jesus. And we will get as much results working based on the instructions he has given us in his word as someone else would get that was specifically told by the Holy Spirit, now go. Praise God. Finally, along that line, in terms of doing the word and even doing the leadings of the Spirit of God, I would want to remind us this morning that the book of Luke, that is part of the scriptures that we hold as the word of God, was not written because God appeared to Luke and said, now write. It was written because Luke said, it seemed good to me to write and to set out an orderly account of the things that you have been told, most excellent Theophilus. It seemed good to Luke. Luke did not hear an audible voice. Luke did not have a vision of the night. He did not go into a trance. He did not have an open vision. It simply seemed good to him to write an orderly account. And that thing that he wrote because it seemed good to him, today it is part of the scriptures that we hold as the infallible word of God. That tells me that because God is on the inside of you by the person of his spirit, in the person of the Holy Spirit, if you do even those things that it looks like, am I sure it is God? Am I not sure it is God? As long as it does not negate the scriptures, please get moving. Get moving. As long as it does not do what? It does not negate the scriptures. Get moving. You will see God's hand at work. Because his word is eternal. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. This is the moment. I had a conversation, a short conversation with Pastor Barry this morning, and asked for permission to do something. And I'm going to do that thing very quickly because I sense that the time has come to do it. And what it is essentially is that yesterday I was informed about a pastor in Nigeria. He's actually a very senior minister that currently is very ill. He has some trouble in his kidneys. And it's actually a lot of trouble in his kidneys. And so the people of God over there are praying. But it was my parents that actually mentioned it to me. And I told them, I said, I will, of course, I'll receive permission. And then that under this atmosphere of God's anointing. Now, when I say the atmosphere of God's anointing, it's twofold. Number one, he said, where two or three of you are gathered together in my name, there I am. Where? In the midst of you. So God is here. Hallelujah. In fact, it's more than twofold. We've also had a wonderful time of worship. So there's that strong grace, strong presence in this place. And then also, like I also mentioned to Pastor Barry, I believe that when anyone that is called of God into an office stands in their office to minister, there's an anointing that accompanies it. And so under that atmosphere of the anointing, we're just going to speak a word and send God's word to Nigeria. And if you would like to join me, I would appreciate that very much. We're going to send God's word to that man. I will just give you his first name. His first name is Lekon. So he's an elderly person, but I won't mention his surname just to not identify him too clearly. But you can just say Reverend Lekon. We're just going to speak God's word and say, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we speak to his kidneys. We speak to his kidneys. Kidneys be made whole in the name of Jesus. Kidneys be made whole. Made whole in the name of the Lord Jesus. We receive right now healing. Healing in those kidneys. Healing in his body. From the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, we speak God's word. We send God's word. God sent his word and healed all their diseases. We send the word in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we say, kidneys, be whole in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Father, we thank you for it. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Is it not good to be part of what God is doing? Hallelujah. Yes. To just be an instrument in the hand of God. Together. Hallelujah. And if you're here in this place and you have any sickness in your body that you would like prayer, after the service, prayer will happen. I mean, there will be two people here that, two brethren. Oh, we don't use the brethren. There'll be two, maybe a brother and a sister. There'll be two believers here that will be available to pray with you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Scripture says that as Jesus taught, God's power was present to heal. So as we worship, as the word goes forth, God's power is what? Present to heal. Praise God. All right, let's move on. So the Spirit of God journeys with us from unveiling our purpose, because we're talking about purpose now. He's the one that unveils the purpose in the first place. We can't find our purpose anywhere else. We can't find it anywhere else. He is the one, as long as it's a God-ordained purpose, the only one that can reveal it is the Holy Spirit. So he journeys with us from unveiling our purpose to sending us out into the harvest, to helping us overcome obstacles that we meet on the way, to directing us per time, opening doors and hearts. He's the one that does all those things. Rescuing us again and again. 2 Timothy 4:17, Paul said, the Lord will keep me from all evil and preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. Hallelujah. He's the one that rescues us again and again. He empowers us and he sustains us. And I put a scripture, two scriptures there that I would want you to just look at in your spare time, please. Acts 13:2 to 12, Acts 16:6 to 26. They are a bit too long to go through here, but you just see that journey of how the Holy Spirit walked with Paul. And initially it was Paul and Barnabas, later it was Paul and Silas, but the Holy Spirit walked with them. He was the one that sent, first of all in Acts 26:18 unveiled Paul's purpose, and then in Acts 13:2 sent him out, sent Barnabas and Paul, or how did he say it again? Separate Barnabas and Paul for the work that I've called them onto. And then we now saw how he went with them on that journey. They met obstacles. He helped them to overcome those obstacles. They got to a place, he said, the Lord opened the heart of a particular woman, Lydia, a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, whose heart the Lord opened. He's the opener of hearts. You see, so the Holy Spirit is one that does all those things. He journeys with us as we walk in God's purpose for our lives. He journeys with us in the fulfillment of that purpose, rescuing us, empowering us, and sustaining us. Hallelujah to Jesus. Number three, I'm going to endeavor to rush through this because we have just a few minutes left. On the journey, this is where power is concerned. Now, how he partners with us, where power is concerned. On the journey of doing God's will, on the journey of serving God's purpose, on the journey of both sonship and service, there are works that need to be done. Remember good works? And then there are also obstacles and oppositions that need to be undone. They need to be removed. They need to be overcome. God added a third one for me this morning. There are works that need to be destroyed. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might do what? That he might destroy the works of the enemy. So there are works that need to be done. There are obstacles and oppositions that need to be undone. There are works that need to be destroyed. So in comes the Holy Spirit with power. Because we can't do those things by ourselves. Like someone would say, I couldn't heal a fly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit comes with power. He is the bringer of the power. He is the mediator of the power of God. In fact, I many times we'll go as far as saying he is the very power of God. Hallelujah. So he comes with power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we've gone through that. You receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. etc., etc. Acts chapter 4, verses 29 to 33, they met an obstacle as they preached the gospel. The obstacle they met was persecution. The obstacle they met was that there were threats against them and against the gospel. They spoke to them. They said, do not speak, do not preach anymore in this name. But then they went back to their company and they prayed. They said, Lord, look on their threats and grant unto your servants that with all boldness we may speak your word by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders will be done by the name of your only child Jesus. Scripture says, after they had prayed, the place where they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. Praise God. So he partners with us in power because there are oppositions that need to be undone. Sometimes human oppositions. This was an example of human opposition. Herod was an example of human opposition. There are others like that. But sometimes also demoniacal or demonic oppositions that need to be undone. So many types of oppositions. And the one that holds the power to destroy those things and to we don't destroy people, amen. All right, but to overcome is the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And of course, one of the things that he provides in that partnership, it's called the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. The gifts of the Spirit. They are tools in that partnership. They are things that he brings and makes available to us to use. Praise God. And finally, provision. He partners with us where provision is concerned. Still on that journey. Still on that journey of sonship and service. Still on that journey of sonship and service. Especially service, because the perfection is about the sonship to a very large extent. But all these other things are mostly about the journey of service. All right. He partners with us where provision is concerned. There are spiritual and physical resources prepared for our possession and use. Prepared for us to have and to what? And to use. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Scripture says that eye has not seen, ear has not heard. No, that's not 1 Corinthians 2, 12. 1 Corinthians 12, now we have received not the spirit which is of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that are what? The things that have been freely given to us by God. Resources, spiritual and physical, provisions. The person that helps us to know is the Holy Spirit. Not only that, in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 17, he said, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit and leads you in the way that you should go. Provisions. Acts 20, verse 32, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among the sanctified. Talking about inheritance, because you can't separate provision from inheritance. We have an inheritance in Christ Jesus. And that inheritance includes both spiritual and physical resources. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. And just examples in the scriptures of how the Holy Spirit partners with us where provision is concerned. See how Paul and Silas had accommodation in Philippi. I just mentioned it, that they spoke to a woman. Thank you. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, a merchant. Rich, rich lady. Glory to God. Who worshipped God. So not only was she rich, but she was what? A worshiper of God in whatever way she understood before they came. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. But not only did she give attention to all spoken by Paul, meaning that she paid attention, and I believe that this also indicates that she received Jesus as her Lord and Savior, received the gospel that he brought. And not only that, when she and her household were baptized, oh, that makes it clear. She begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. Accommodation provided. Why? Because the Lord opened the heart of someone. Praise God. The Holy Spirit is the opener of hearts. See how Jesus located fish in the scriptures. Located fish. Located fish. Peter, launch out into the deep. Cast your nets. I think initially he just said, cast your nets. Let down your nets for a catch. But in John 21, when he did something similar, this time I think he said, cast your net on either the right side or the left side. He was even more specific this time. Praise God. He located fish. Peter had said, we've toiled all night. We didn't catch fish. At night is when you catch fish. And now it's daytime. The fish will be deep down somewhere. But he said, at your word. At your word. We'll let down the nets for a catch. And he did. And he caught fish. Jesus located fish. Jesus exploited fish for gold. Now, I know animal rights lovers might not like to hear that so much, but it's what happened. He exploited fish for gold. He told Peter, go, catch a fish. The first fish that you take up, open the mouth, there's gold inside. He knew where the resources were. Jesus multiplied fish. Still this same fish. He multiplied fish. Bread and fish, of course. But since we're talking about fish, bread and fish. Multiplied it. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. In another place, 7 loaves and 2 fishes. And he gave thanks, broke it, and said, serve it to them. And it was multiplied. Jesus possessed fish. Now, this one is from John 21. In that second instance where Peter had gone to fish, you know, I mean, Jesus, it seems the ministry has ended, all of that. So Peter went fishing, and some people followed him. They toiled all night. They didn't catch anything. In the morning, they saw a man on the shore, and the man said, little children, do you have any fish? Little children. Okay. Well, we don't have any fish. But he said, okay, cast your net on the, I don't remember whether it's left or right side. And then they cast their nets, and then they caught a huge haul of fish. But not only that, scripture says that Peter jumped, he recognized immediately it was Jesus. So he jumped into the water, swam to meet Jesus. But you know what? By the time he got to the shore and met Jesus, Jesus was already roasting fish on the fire. Where did he get the fish from? And John said, many things did Jesus do that are not even written in this scripture. In these scriptures, for the world could not contain the books that would be written. But he wrote this one. Jesus already had fish roasting. And to emphasize that Jesus already had fish roasting, he now said, now bring of the fish which you have just caught. He had his own fish. Where did he get it from? I don't know. And I'm not going to try to explain it. Praise God. But he possessed fish. Where I'm going with all of this is this. The Holy Spirit knows where the fish are. The Holy Spirit knows where the resources are. Whether you're talking about spiritual resources or physical resources. I know we do not like to talk about money in church as much as possible, but you can't escape the fact here that Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, knew where the resources were. He had a command of resources. He had a command of resources, and that was only possible by the Holy Spirit. We do not love money. Praise God. We do not love money. However, in order to fulfill God's agenda, any time that resources, physical resources, finances are required, the Holy Spirit, our partner, knows where the resources are. He knows how to access the resources. Hallelujah to Jesus. So an encouragement here, engage the Holy Spirit. Engage him. Engage his help. Engage his ministry. He is the administrator of the inheritance. He is the executor of the will and testament. Glory to Jesus. The Holy Spirit knows where the provisions are, and he is the one that is authorized to make them available to you and to me. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. I want someone in this place today to just say thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit. Just talk to the Father and say thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is my partner. Thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Thank you because he has come and he dwells in me. He lives in me, abides in me forever. Thank you because he's working in me now. Thank you because he's working in my life. He's making my life into all that you have prepared, all that you have designed, all that you have ordained. Thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Father, I thank you. Thank you because you have not left me comfortless. Thank you because you have not left me parentless. You have come to me in the person of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I open up myself to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I open up myself like never before to the Holy Spirit to teach me his word, to help me to pray, to bring me into the fullness of all that you have prepared, and to walk with me in this journey, to make available all the resources of heaven, both spiritual and physical, to me in this journey. I receive all that he's doing. I receive his ministry. I receive his works. I receive his doings. Oh, Father, we thank you. We give you praise.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.